Mazzara and Parra project to Alamora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alamoric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Hey, it's Thursday. It's June 16th. Welcome to the show. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very honest. Chris, Al, I get a little bit of joy when Corey Kluber struggles. I really do.
I fully expected that.
But not that much joy, because I still think he's really good.
Just a jerk move.
Why?
That's all that is. You're just reveling in other people's failures. What if we did that to you, huh?
I'm sure people do.
I don't
enjoy when you do poorly.
Just Corey Kluber.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I guess by extension, that's kind of you doing poorly.
I was just going to say that. When we prognosticate overly optimistic way.
Hey.
We are Corey Kluber.
I'm closer to Adam on Corey Kluber at this point than I think anything else right now.
And where do you think I am on Corey Kluber?
You think he's the worst pitcher in baseball?
No. I think he's a must-start fantasy pitcher.
I agree. He is really good in 4 out of every 5 starts.
Yeah, something like that. Now, do you want to know his baseball reference nickname, which is our baseball reference nickname of the day?
Klubot?
I didn't see that one, no. Hans Kluber.
Okay. That makes sense.
Do you believe that to be true? I'm skeptical.
My thing with the reference sites and their nicknames is like, they have Austin Rivers, the basketball player. His nickname is Sub-Zero, which like he apparently called himself that in high school. I don't think that counts. So I'm not sure how they're deciding to figure out these nicknames. It seems pretty arbitrary. It seems like if one person called someone one thing at one time, Baseball Reference will put it up there. And I don't think that's an appropriate way to go about it.
Well, all I know is that I really, really hope that Travis Shaw's nickname really is Mayor of Ding Dong City.
That is true. Sent us a picture on Twitter of him wearing a shirt that says the Mayor of Ding Dong City.
Is that clear your...
Confirmed.
Clear your requirements?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would say so. That passes. Welcome to the show, everybody. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put something, you know, baseball podcast related. Oh, not that, though. Not verbatim. In the subject line. Adam, Al, and Chris here on this Thursday, getting you through the day. This was such a fun day in fantasy baseball. So much happened that Jose Reyes getting DFA'd, it doesn't even matter to me. And Freddie Freeman hitting for the cycle, which he needed extra innings to do, it doesn't even matter to
what
me.
What a loser.
Yeah, right? I mean, they matter, but not... not as much as some other stuff. So let me tell you the most underappreciated player in fantasy, in my opinion.
Besides Robbie Grossman?
Yeah, well, after your love affair with Robbie Grossman, he's no longer the most underappreciated fantasy player. But it's a guy who's, you know, pretty much universally owned, I think. Do you have the notes in front of you guys? I know Al doesn't.
No, Chris, I do now.
Oh, you do? So you know who I'm about to say. I was going to make a guess.
Well, now I do. That you've drawn my attention to it.
DJ LeMahieu.
I'll agree with that, by the way.
Yeah, he just keeps on doing it. He's the number 8 second baseman in points. He's number 10. Yeah, 8 in points, 10 in roto. Last year, LeMahieu was 8 in points and 6 in roto. And he's not stealing like he did last year, Al, but there's some pop for LeMahieu. It's mostly doubles, but what a really nice year. And now he's batting second in that order consistently. Underappreciated fantasy player.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. He does have the doubles power, and I think he does get overlooked because he doesn't have the home run power. And you think from a Rockies player that might just be ridiculous, but he's a potential batting average champion. I mean, he's got a good, not a great contact rate, but such a good opposite field hitter that he's somebody who, you know, you can see him have a 360 BABIP and wouldn't think that it's going to regress.
And that's one thing that we tend to, I think, overlook with Coors Field is, yes, it does boost power, but it also, like, I believe hitters last season in Coors Field had a 354 BABIP combined. It was the highest in baseball. Coors Field is it is not a small park. It's massive. The ball travels quick there. It's really hard for outfielders and infielders, frankly, to turn balls in play into out. So you do have a situation where this is a guy who doesn't strike out much, 91% contact rate. It's he's going to have a high BABIP. Now, I you know, maybe there's room for some regression on the strikeout rate. But yeah, he's probably a one of those few players that you can say is a true skill 300 hitter.
Actually, I didn't realize how low the strikeout rate was this year. So, yeah, he's improved that quite a bit.
Just last thing on LeMahieu here. Do you think the power is legit? Because he's slugging 498, which is, you know, shocking for LeMahieu. He even doubles power. I mean, this guy's never slugged higher than 410, and last year was 388. So, you know, do you expect him to just be more of a singles hitter going forward?
I definitely expect some amount of regression. His ISO is twice what it was last season, so anytime you're looking at a situation like that, I think you can certainly expect regression. However, he's also hitting the ball harder. He puts the ball in the opposite field a lot, so there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to put the ball in the gap. There's regression coming, but not all the way to last year's level.
Okay, would you rather have DJ LeMahieu or this next guy, Steve Pierce? He's 53% owned. First of all, answer that question. LeMahieu or Pierce?
LeMahieu.
Yeah, LeMahieu.
Now, let's talk about Pierce. This is so surprising to me. Here is Steve Pierce's slash line over the last 28 days. 380, 443 on base, 620 slugging. You look at all second basemen in the last 28 days, Steve Pierce has the highest batting average, the highest OBP, and the second highest slugging percentage behind Matt Carpenter with a minimum of 70 at-bats. But he's got the 37th most at-bats. He missed three games with elbow tendonitis. Still, to be 380, 443, 620, I can't believe he's only the number 21 second baseman in the last 28 days and number 19 in Roto. 21st in points, 19th in Roto. The counting stats are just really bad. 7 RBIs and 9 runs scored. I'm just wondering if there's more fantasy production ahead for Steve Pierce because it just hasn't matched the numbers.
I think maybe it's a case where the counting stats get better, but the rate stats get worse. Yeah. So it's sort of, you know, I guess the counting stats could still get better in spite of the rate stats getting worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the batting average is just completely unexpected. He is striking out much less this year, but, and we know he can hit for power, but I don't trust the health or necessary. I trust the playing time more than the health, actually. I think there'll be a spot for him no matter what, but yeah, maybe I'm relying too much on what's happened in the past with him with the Orioles, but I just have a hard time believing that he's really going to play every day rest of season.
All right, guys. So coming up on the show, we're going to talk about some players who are really slumping right now, like Gregory Polanco, Aledmys Diaz. Is it just a slump or is it a sign of more? We're going to look at some bullpens, some cool stats for you about James Paxton, Shin-Soo Choo, Ben Revere, Strasburg and Sale and Cueto were great. Syndergaard was great. Wainwright was great again. Sonny Gray and Corey Kluber, not so much. Freddie Freeman hit for the cycle. So all of that is coming up. Of course, Drew Smyly as well. First, an email, though. Email of the day from John from Boston. John wants us to use TLC references. He says, can you please use TLC references for players, such as I don't want no scrubs, don't go chasing waterfalls, and digging on you?
Okay.
Yeah, that works for me.
Sounds like a segment to me, right?
Yeah. Do you think it'd be cool if, like, one of us just dropped a band's song names just randomly throughout the podcast?
Have I been doing that? Have you been
No.
doing that?
No, I did a little experiment yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I missed it all?
Yeah, I slid the names of 13 different Genesis songs into the podcast.
No, you're kidding me.
No. Nobody noticed, though.
Give me an example.
It should have been 14, actually, because when Scott reversed the sides of the grade the trade, I should have said it's just a misunderstanding. But no, talked about some player turning it on again. Talked about Brian McCann being back in New York City.
You can't, Al, nobody knows these Genesis songs.
Turn It On Again? That's one of their biggest hits.
Turn It On Again. Do I know that one?
All right. You should.
What else? What else?
Oh, geez. This is,
you know, if you had said Sue Studio, I would have gotten it.
It's not Genesis.
Oh, all right, fine. All right, so let's do some TLC. I don't want no scrubs. The guy's just a scrub. Don't go chasing waterfalls. It's a hot streak. Or digging on you. You're into it.
Okay.
Jason Hayward. A little bit better lately.
Digging on you, I guess. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think the other two apply. I don't think it is just a hot streak. I think he is starting to figure it out. He has been hitting the ball in the air more often lately, which is a big thing for him. But I also, I'm not 100% Jason Hayward's going to be some kind of stud moving forward. Like the struggles are enough for me to say that we should downgrade our expectations a bit.
Yeah, none of them fit completely. It's hard to say I'm digging on Jason Hayward, yeah. But that's the closest.
Okay, next up, how about Matt Duffy? He's just had a really crappy year, but he had a good game yesterday. Matt Duffy, digging on you. Don't go chasing waterfalls. I don't want no scrubs.
Totally digging on you.
Really?
Been one of the big buy low candidates for much of the season with the low BABIP that shouldn't be low, mm-hmm. and everything else looking the way it should be.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. So Duffy is 79% owned. You think good things are to come for Matt Duffy?
Yes.
All right. Melvin Upton, 3-for-3 with a home run and a double yesterday. He scored twice, 2 home runs in his last 3 games. But boy, had he been terrible before that. His last 48 games before this, .226. With 6 home runs and 8 steals. But yeah, .634 OPS. So how you feeling about Melvin Upton?
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Yeah, I'm not going to get excited about Melvin Upton in 2016. I'm just not going to do that.
I will have that song stuck in my head all day now.
Yeah, no, it's been stuck in my head since I put this email in the notes. So we're not excited about Justin Upton. How about Robinson Chirinos? 3 home runs in his last 2 games. In a 2-catcher league sort of way, how do you feel about Robinson Chirinos?
Totally, totally digging on him. And yeah, you're right. In a 2-catcher sort of way. You know what, though? I mean, there's basically, I think, 7 good number one catchers. And then it really drops off after that. So if I'm in a league where I've got a really horrid number one catcher, which is entirely possible, I could even see giving Chirinos a try there.
So low batting average, but some good power potential?
Yes, exactly.
And finally, Jeffrey Marte. How do you feel about Jeffrey Marte?
I don't want no scrubs.
There you go. Is that the first I don't want no scrubs?
Yeah.
I think from either of us, yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you for playing the TLC game. Jeffrey Marte has been hot, but we don't want no scrubs. Big news around baseball. Colorado DFA'd Jose Reyes. I'm kind of feeling like the only thing that would have made Reyes entertaining or interesting for me would have been Coors Field. Are you interested at all in Jose Reyes? Should he land somewhere else?
Not at all. I mean, shortstop has gotten so much deeper this season that even if he gets back to where he was last year, which wasn't tremendous, he's not a standard mixed league talent anymore.
Yeah, you probably have a viable starting shortstop at this point.
But, well, to be fair, he did steal 24 bases last year, so if Jose Reyes ends up on just like some normal team in a neutral-ish ballpark, would you think about him over Tim Anderson?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Jose Fernandez is going to have his next start skipped as they manage his innings. Giancarlo
said they have another one scheduled at some point as well.
Yeah. Well, that's not such a bad thing. I mean, that could mean that he's pitching for you in your fantasy postseason.
Yeah, I would guess they probably have to find 4 or 5 starts that they can get rid of. That would be my guess.
Okay. So that's Jose Fernandez. Giancarlo Stanton sat again. All right. Well, we've talked enough about him. It looks like the entire National League All-Star roster is going to be made up of Cubs.
That's fine. They're an All-Star team.
Yeah. Addison Russell should not be the starting shortstop in the National League, and Jason Hayward should not be like top 4 in votes in the outfield. But this is what happens with the All-Star break.
Everyone's excited.
Yeah, it's weird. A lot of Royals, too. So that's kind of annoying. Troy Tulowitzki is going to begin a rehab assignment today. Starling Marte left after being hit by a liner in the face. It was like a bouncing liner. Hopefully he's okay. Didn't seem too serious. All right, bullpen stuff. Dusty Baker, in a save situation, went with Matt Belisle for one batter. Batter got on base. Then he went to Oliver Perez. They blew the save. And then Sean Kelly came in and pitched an inning and 2/3 scoreless. What is up with that?
I suppose just playing the matchups. But yeah, not the way I would have thought that Dusty would have gone with that.
Dusty likes to get real cute with his bullpen from time to time, and I would think that's probably just what this is.
All right. Will Harris got another save, but Luke Gregerson remains out due to a family emergency. Trevor Rosenthal has been terrible, guys. Do you think they could make a change in St. Louis?
I mean, O would be, I think, a very good closer. So it's occurred to me. I mean, Rosenthal's control earlier in the year was pretty abysmal, and just seems like he could really fall apart at any given time because of those control problems.
Okay. So
I think I think O's a good good pitcher to speculate on if you have the bench space.
How about Carlos Estevez, 26% owned and three saves, I think, in 4 days, something like that, since McGee went on the DL.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great since becoming the closer, and so it's Estevez, not Estevez?
Oh, I don't know, Al. Does it really matter?
You say it your way, I'll say it my way. Estevez.
Emilio Estevez.
Estevez.
Yeah.
Emilio.
Yeah. Has not had control issues for the last month and a half. Very encouraging.
Gerardo Parra on the DL with an ankle injury. John Gibbons confirmed that Aaron Sanchez will eventually move to the bullpen. We've gotten a lot of questions lately about Drew Pomeranz and his innings limit. Do you guys know anything about Pomeranz?
Not a specific number, no, but I would assume that he will have a limit.
The Sanchez one is weird. He threw 134 inning, or I think his career high is 134. He was only like 100 last year. So they haven't given what they think his limit should be. I don't know if it's 150 or 190. So it's very strange with him.
Evan Longoria left with forearm tightness. He says he's been dealing with this. He says he's day-to-day. Shelby Miller could start Monday for the Diamondbacks. You guys have any interest in Shelby Miller?
Nope.
I'm willing to look at him. I'm not like running out and dropping everything to put him on my roster, but he's like 50% owned, I think. I think he's worth a look.
If he's on TV, I am willing to look at him.
Colton Wong has been playing center field in the minors.
Because that's what the Cardinals need.
Right, exactly.
They don't need another infielder.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
might need a closer.
You might need a closer. He has not been doing that. Guys, I ate well last night. Man, did I eat well last night. And I cooked. I am now a master chef thanks to Blue Apron. They make it very, very easy for you to cook a great meal. If you want two free meals, go to blueapron.com/FBT, as in fantasy baseball today. That's blueapron.com/FBT. Now, last night, my fiance and I baked a pizza with mushrooms, potatoes, rosemary, and spinach. It was unreal. We've been eating great meals with fresh, healthier ingredients since we started Blue Apron a few weeks ago. With Blue Apron, it's all about the ingredients. It's all about eating different things and healthier things. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Now, whether you're talking Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best, and it's all for less than $10 per meal. They're going to deliver you seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients, detailed instructions to make delicious home-cooked meals. They get you what you need and tell you how to make it. It takes less than 40 minutes. So check out this week's menu. Get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FBT. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/FBT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Tell me, with these players, is it just a slump or is this something bigger? Lorenzo Cain, terrible April with an OPS under 600. Amazing May, 351, 387, 577. And now a terrible June again with an OPS well under 600.
We've all resigned ourselves to Lorenzo Cain not being 2015 Lorenzo Cain, right?
Except he is on pace for more home runs than he hit last year, which was a career high 15 or 16.
I mean, yes, but, you know, just marginally less so.
Okay. I think I've downgraded him. Yeah, he's still really good, but I just don't think he's going to finish with the same number. I think it's going to be really, really difficult for him to finish with the same numbers he did last season. And the fact that he's struggled for most of the season definitely plays into that.
Well, the weird thing about Cain is he's got six steals this year. and two straight years for Kane with 28 steals. So,
yeah.
You know, is that going to pick up? Because if it does, then look, the batting average is 284. He's like a 300 hitter usually. The home runs, he's got 8 of them. He had 15 last year. It just needs to steal more and score more runs. And last year, Kane stole like 100 bases. No, he scored 100 runs. This year, he's got 35. So could you see the steals and the runs picking back up, which would make him pretty darn good again?
Absolutely could. And the steals in particular, you know, just because that's been, you know, consistent for him coming into this year. And just think of, you know, Charlie Blackmon, who's been a real disappointment in terms of steals, but I think two in the last two games for him. So, you know, we've seen this many times before where players can get them in bunches.
Okay. So Lorenzo Cain is around 20th in the outfield rankings. Nick Castellanos, last 20 games for Castellanos, 200 with 3 home runs, 4 walks, and 28 strikeouts. Is this just a slump, or is he kind of a fringy player again?
Yeah, I think he, well, I would say that the skill set was always sort of fringy. Started to break out power-wise late last season. That's continued on into this year. But I don't think he's a 200 hitter, but I think he's probably like a 240 hitter.
Okay. How about Aledmys Diaz, who is still the number 9 shortstop in fantasy? 4 for his last 26, but he does have 5 walks in his last 4 games. In June, Aledmys Diaz is batting .214 with 1 home run. Just a slump or uh-oh?
Strikeout rate's up, which is a little concerning because that was what he was. That was something he was really, really good with earlier in the season. It's a little bit concerning given how sort of out of nowhere he was. But I still feel pretty comfortable starting him.
Every week I've gotten a little bit closer and a little bit closer to benching him, and I think next week I'm finally going to do it unless he has an amazing weekend.
Ooh, okay. For benching him
for
who?
Yeah, well, nothing with much power either on top of the worsening contact.
Well, who would you be benching Aledmys Diaz for?
I think I've got him in a league where I also have Brandon Crawford. So I certainly would do that without question. I could throw some names out. I mean, there's probably quite a few.
Eduardo Nunez and Tim Anderson.
Nunez, yeah. Yes. Anderson, no.
I just, like, Brandon Crawford, he has the same production in points leagues as Elvis Andrews. Probably pretty similar in Roto. Like, what is Brandon Crawford doing to justify any love for the guy who's had, like, at most, one good season in his career?
Well, but I think maybe our expectations got a little bit skewed by that season because, you know, he's not far off that homer pace, but I think maybe because he's off it a bit, it's, you know, we're thinking that he's, you know, not as good anymore, or maybe just because he's just, there's so many exciting young shortstops that, you know, Crawford gets ignored. But I just don't think he's that far off of what he did last season when he was one of the top fantasy shortstops.
Is Aledmys Diaz the best fantasy shortstop in St. Louis?
I'd have to say still, but it's, yeah, that's getting very, very close.
Yeah.
All righty.
Jahani Peralta being the other one, obviously.
Yeah. Gregory Polanco.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Greg Garcia.
Gregory Polanco, in June, he is batting .239 with 1 home run and 1 steal. He is still the number 5 outfielder in points leagues and the number 11 outfielder in roto leagues, but he is struggling. Is this concerning to you for Gregory Polanco?
Not particularly.
Yeah. I'm not.
I mean, he was like gangbusters the first 2 months, so.
And really, like, he still has a 743 OPS in the month of June. And it's really only been like the last, I think, 5 or 6 days, because before that he was doing really well in June too.
Kind of surprised at the overall numbers from Polanco. 9 home runs, 8 steals. Like, it's not eye popping stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a nice compliment to everything else that he does.
22 doubles.
Yeah.
Well, that does help, yeah. 44 runs scored.
John Jay can do that.
John Jay. Here's some fun stats for you. The Dodgers are 13-1 when Clayton Kershaw starts and 21-31 when Kershaw doesn't start.
There are all kinds of fun Clayton Kershaw stats right now.
Yeah, he's pretty good. James
Before Paxton, yesterday's start, Noah Syndergaard would have needed 100 strikeouts without a walk to match Clayton Kershaw's strikeout-to-walk ratio, and Noah Syndergaard had the second-best strikeout-to-walk ratio in baseball.
That's a pretty good stat. James Paxton, he only issued 5 walks in his last 8 appearances in the minors. And so far, I think he only has 4 walks and 3 starts. So is that, I mean, that's pretty huge. That's a huge corner for Paxton to turn. Is that, am I overreacting there, or is that a huge stat for Paxton?
Well, I know you'll just glom on to any good James Paxton news.
Sure.
No, I mean, it's potentially huge for him. You're right. And it's a longer string with good control than Archie Bradley had when he came back up. And I was encouraged by that. But at the same time, you know, sort of cautiously optimistic. So even though Paxton's shown us more of that, because he's had the history of control issues, I still worry that they could resurface.
You know, I was about to make a joke about James Paxton being in the second Independence Day movie, but then I realized I was confusing Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton.
Everyone makes that mistake.
Everyone does. Shin-Soo Chu, 71% owned. He's walked 5 times and scored 3 runs in 3 games, and he leads off for the Rangers. How is he 71% owned?
Because he's only played like 8 games.
Well, he should be more owned, Chris Towers.
I agree. He should be, but that's why. It's just that he hasn't been around. People dropped him. People got frustrated when he came back from the DL and then literally went right back on the DL the next day. So it's, I get why it's low. It should be a lot higher, though.
That's Shin-Soo Chu. And finally, Ben Revere stole his 5th base of the season. Al, you talked yesterday about it. You still have faith that Ben Revere will bounce back, be a good base stealer again.
See?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you said some Genesis line to that. You probably could feel that one coming in the air last night.
Also Phil Collins.
Damn it! Boom, boom, boom. All right. I want to talk about some pitchers now. First, this ownership of about 80% is a very strange ownership. These are guys that are not must-starts necessarily, but they're probably owned, so you can't really, like, say, go pick them up, maybe in 10-team leagues. Maybe owners just don't know what to do with these guys. Colin McHugh, Drew Smyly, Ian Kennedy, they're all around 80% owned, and they all pitched pretty well yesterday. Kennedy, you see the final line, 6 2/3, 4 runs, 2 homers. Now that's 16 home runs allowed this year for Kennedy, but I'm not sure if he saw it happen. He, in like the 4th inning or something like that, there was a ground ball to first. He didn't cover first base. Michael Martinez reached, and then Rajay Davis hit a home run right after that. We'll talk about Davis, by the way. So it could have been a much better start. That came with 2 outs. That should have been the end of the inning, and he did well. Anyway, McHugh, Smyly, Kennedy, do you have any overall thoughts on these guys? Anybody that really jumped out? Smyly with a career-high 12 strikeouts last night.
Well, to me, Kennedy is the one who stands out because I can understand why McHugh and Smyly are owned in roughly 80% of leagues. I think there's a lot of potential there with both of them. McHugh's been inconsistent. Smyly, you know, coming off of a stretch where he was awful. But, you know, I have hopes that Smyly will come out of that. Kennedy, I think he's just destined to go the other direction. And you mentioned all the home runs. I mean, he's on a higher home run pace than he was last year, when he gave up way too many home runs. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually it's going to come back to hurt him a lot.
Did this start by Drew Smyly excite you? It was very, very impressive. He did give up a home run, but 6 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 12 strikeouts, with 17 swinging strikes against the Mariners.
I'm very encouraged by it. I mean, if this had been a bad start, even though it's against a pretty good lineup, you know, that might have gotten me thinking about dropping Smyly, but I mean, that's the kind of start I wanted to see from him.
Yeah, I'm still not like fully ready to start him every week. But the upside that he's shown, and I'm generally the low guy on Drew Smyly in this office for a number of reasons, but I still think he's worth hanging on to. The upside he's shown, the strikeout ability, it's too much to let go of.
And then McHugh is really interesting because his swinging strikes, they're way up. I just took like his last 8 starts, which have been okay. Like there have been some good maybe peripheral numbers there. 13 walks, 50 strikeouts, 13% swinging strikes in 50 innings for McHugh in those 8 starts. But 4 quality starts and a 3.96 ERA. So it's like, you know, yesterday was good, but for the most part, the production still hasn't been there. And he's got a 4.89 ERA this year.
I think McHugh could be somebody who, you know, rest of the season could really surprise people. I mean, it sort of looked like he was on the way to breaking out again a few weeks ago. But I think that he could just go on a nice stretch rest of the season. Because like you said, the whiffs are up, the strikeouts are up. he has given up a good number of home runs, and yet the average fly ball distance off him is not very high. So I just think there's room for improved results all over the place with him.
All right, some more pitchers. Let's talk about the studs. Who were studs last night? Steven Strasburg is still undefeated. He's 10-0. Chris Sale had a nice bounce-back start, but he did give up three runs in seven innings. But I don't know if you had any concerns about Sale. So I didn't see his velocity in the last start, but or this start last night, but before that it was back up, according to Brooks Baseball, in his previous start.
Yeah, this one was down a little bit. He was 94.9 in his previous start, 94 this time around, which isn't hugely concerning, but it's continuing the trend of right around 2 miles per hour below what he was last season.
Well, is that enough to downgrade Chris Sale?
I've struggled with this because we have him and Don Cooper explicitly saying that he's trying to pitch to more contact this season, which I think does make him both a worse fantasy option and a worse pitcher. I think generally speaking, when you have the stuff that Chris Sale does, intentionally going out of your way to not get strikeouts is probably not a good thing. I know he gets a lot of weak contact, but you're narrowing your margin of error. And I don't think the ability to get two or three extra outs every game in theory helps.
Do you recall what the rationale is behind
to go deeper into games?
Oh, okay.
To pitch to more contact, get early outs, pitch deeper into games. Yeah. I don't think that's it kind of seems self-defeating.
Okay, would you rather have Sale or this next guy who ranks ahead of Sale so far with a 10-1 record and a 2.10 ERA, Johnny Cueto, who has 90 strikeouts and 102 2/3, and he goes very deep into games. Only Clayton Kershaw's pitched more innings than Johnny Cueto. So who would you rather have, Sale or Cueto?
I'd still rather have Sale.
Yeah, but Cueto, wow, what a season for him. Would you rather have Cueto or Noah Syndergaard, who threw a season-high 115 pitches yesterday?
Noah Syndergaard, and I think we're probably underrating Johnny Cueto just a little bit, which I think is just the perpetual Johnny Cueto story in fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. I've said it 100 times before, but he was being drafted in the same range as Adam Wainwright this season, which is just nuts. It was just stupid.
Are you ready to give Adam Wainwright a little bit of credit, though?
Apparently, you've stopped reading CBSSports.com because I already gave him credit after his last start, sir.
Okay. Well, Cueto, I mean, this is interesting. The two pitchers who have thrown the most pitches in baseball this year are Madison Bumgarner and Johnny Cueto. So even if his strikeout rate isn't as great as other pitchers, he pitches so many innings. And Cueto's got 90 strikeouts. Chris Sale has 93, for what that's worth.
And, you know, we do, I think, tend to underrate Cueto because he gets has a lot of his success because of proving hits on balls and play as opposed to just striking batters out. Last six starts, his BABIP had been surprisingly high earlier this season, 210 over the last six starts. So
and
he'll find the happy medium.
He's one of those guys that like consistently has been in the 260 range in his career, which is usually unsustainable for most pitchers, but not for this dude.
These next three pitchers, do you think they are absolute must-starts? Jason Hamill, who has a 1.10 whip and a 2.26 ERA. Adam Wainwright, who has a 2.50 ERA in his last six starts. And Steven Wright, who's just been awesome, 8-4 with a 2.22 ERA.
Yeah, well, I've been there with Wright for a few weeks. I've gotten there with Hamill, and I think I'm ready to turn the corner on Wainwright as well. I'm not quite as ahead of the curve as Chris is on Wainwright.
Well, no, I don't think he's Adam Wainwright again.
No, he is.
Sure. It's same birth certificate and everything. but like, it's still really hard to be a really good pitcher with an 8% swing strike rate. Like that's the thing that I keep coming back to is like, I was probably wrong to write off Adam Wainwright as much as I did, although I really don't like, you should have dropped him in April. And the fact that he's pitching better now is great, but I think you're still looking at someone whose ceiling for the rest of the season is probably like a number three fantasy starter.
But did you just say you should have dropped him in April?
Absolutely. He looked done.
Well, he looked done, but isn't that like...
Coming off a serious injury, of course you should have dropped him. It wasn't unrealistic.
The whole thing about the Achilles injury, I mean, he's not a basketball player.
That's
so
fine.
If it were an elbow injury, it'd be one thing, but we don't know what the Achilles injury does to pitchers. It's
Can't imagine that compromising your foundation in that way would help.
But yeah, but I don't know that it does. I mean, it's not. It's a lot. Look, obviously your legs.
Why did we give this 35-year-old coming off a serious injury the benefit of the doubt?
Because he, for whatever it's worth, he did pitch really well last year.
He made like five relief appearances,
and they were great. And he's been a great pitcher. You know, he's not just like a regular 35-year-old guy.
But he's lost some dominance over the years. Sure. I mean, it certainly looked like a case. Look, 10 times out of 10, I don't know about April, but probably by early May, yeah, I would have dropped Wainwright.
And it has turned out not
to be the right move, but I would do that over and over again in that type of situation. And by the way, I didn't think it was stupid for people to draft Quetelet because he came with a ton of risk that, of course, wound up not meaning anything for the season. But, you know, this is what happens in fantasy baseball.
I just thought, like, going into the season, thinking that Adam Wainwright and Johnny Cueto were similarly valued, and maybe there's a little bit of hindsight bias, but this is what I believed before the season. Like, it just, the risk with Johnny Cueto didn't seem nearly as great as the risk with Adam Wainwright. Like, Adam Wainwright actually was hurt. Johnny Cueto was just like, oh, he might be hurt, yeah. But like, he's still got a 4-year, $65 million contract or whatever it was. Like, obviously the Giants didn't think it was that big of a risk.
All right, well, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I was high on Adam Wainwright. I didn't draft him in any leagues, and I was, you know, probably crapping on him on the podcast just like you were. But I think when you've got a veteran who has done it, like even James Shields, you know, let's take Shields.
Oh, you just dropped James Shields.
But that's the thing. Like, I see him on waivers in our podcast league, and I'm considering picking him up because at the end of the day, these guys, they throw innings. They figure out a way to produce. James Shields
it's not
terrible.
That.
He's
I think
terrible
it's
right
that,
now, but he could turn things around and go back to being better.
Sure, but what is better? Like, what do we think Adam Wainwright's better is moving forward? Do we think it's a 250 ERA?
Could be. Why
for
not?
For me, it looks like
two eighty.
Looks like a nice 6-start hot streak, and that's fine. But like, when really good pitchers have a nice 6-start hot streak, they give up 3 runs in 6 starts.
Yeah.
With Adam Wainwright, he's been good, but he hasn't been like utterly dominant. His last 2 starts have been pretty good, very good, I would say. But even before, like, I just like, I will admit I was wrong. I was too hasty in writing off Adam Wainwright, but it didn't seem like there was any reason to believe he would come back. It doesn't seem like there's any reason to believe James Shields will come back and be anything more than what he was last season, which is a pretty replaceable player.
No, so I guess that's where I differ, because I just look at what's out there at starting pitcher, and I'm not that impressed. You know, like right now you've got Duffy and maybe Shoemaker's out there, and you've got maybe James Paxton, but these guys are owned in a lot of leagues. Like, they're not available in any league I'm in. So unless we're talking 10-team leagues, I really don't think.
Right, but
you
if you held
off to
those guys. Shields when those guys were available, that was an obvious mistake. And just like if you held on to Adam Wainwright on April 25th, when like Aaron Sanchez might have still been available, these are mistakes. And at some point, you're chasing really low odds on an old pitcher turning things around when sometimes it just goes.
Well,
and, like,
James Shields,
his fastball has been getting freaking crushed since the start of last season. And I don't see any reason to think that's going to come back.
All right. Well, how about Sonny Gray? Are you guys getting close to being done with Sonny Gray? He cannot pitch deep into games. Opponents are hitting .358 against Gray the third time through the order. Personally, I think that would be a little bit hasty, considering he did pretty well in his first 2 starts off the DL. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, very, very hasty. You know, 4 swings and misses against the Rangers is something that definitely, you know, catches my attention.
Yeah.
But it also could just be one of those starts, and I'm inclined to think that since, like you said, the last 2 starts, Gray seemed fine.
5 up. Nobody down. We've talked about the slump, so let's talk about guys who did well yesterday. Freddie Freeman hit for the cycle. He is not even a top 20 first baseman this year. What do you guys think?
I've been using his wrist as sort of an excuse to be downgrading him, and you know, then once in a while he does have a game like this, and I think, I'm just being overly pessimistic about Freeman, but I don't know. And of course, you know, we can never talk about Freeman without talking about the lineup that he's in. I think that may get a little bit overblown because I've seen plenty of circumstances where good hitters just find a way to, you know, take advantage of the circumstances to produce runs that are there. But
Look, it's not the lineup's fault. He's hitting 148 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. So that's it. That's a big one there.
Yeah.
But if that turns around, RBI will come with it. He's not going to have a huge number of RBI because of the lineup, but the number that he's at right now is crazy low.
Yeah, I mean, that shouldn't prove, but I just, even with these occasional good games, I do worry about the wrist.
Josh Donaldson appears to be back on track. Hooray?
Yeah, big hooray.
Okay. How about Rajay Davis? We've talked about Melvin Upton, Leonis Martin, Rajay Davis. They're all owned in right around the same amount of leagues. I think I'm forgetting one outfielder, too. I mean, we can say Robbie Grossman. He's probably approaching 30%. The other guys are about 44%. Rajay Davis has 7 home runs this year. His career high is 8, which he hit last year. It was tied a career high, but he did that in 112 games. I don't know. Like, is there actually a bit of a power speed combo here with Rajay Davis?
And he's like 34, right?
He old.
Got to be. I don't know, but I mean, you'd think he's in that age range.
Yeah, it's crazy what he's been doing. He's been hitting pretty consistent power lately. Yeah, he turns 36 in October.
Well, then we should drop him. It's like Adam Wainwright.
If he tears his Achilles, I'm definitely dropping.
Yeah, that, okay, I agree with you on that.
I'm not rushing out to grab Rajay Davis. I still think you're mostly owning him for the steals, and any power he gives you is just a nice bonus.
All right, Carlos Gomez, 77% owned. He's hit back-to-back 2-hit games, 3 home runs in June. Would you rather own Carlos Gomez or Shin-Soo Chu?
Chu.
And Alberto Mora, 14% owned, batting .353 with 3 doubles in 8 games. Doesn't play much, but do you think Alberto Mora could play more for the Cubs?
My autocorrect changes it to Saskatchewan Mora.
I like that, Al. Very good. That's not a courtesy laugh. I genuinely enjoy that joke. Yes.
I don't think there's too much interest in him from my end.
I mean, me neither, but only because of the playing time.
Yeah.
If it looks like there's a chance for him, I'm not sure how this happens, for him to play close to regularly, I'm very interested.
The fringy starting pitchers, some of these guys could be 2-star pitchers next week. Are you interested in these guys? Jimmy Nelson, Kevin Gausman, Nate Karns, who just does not pitch more than 5 innings typically now, at least lately. Anthony DeSclafani, really? At the Braves, Anthony DeSclafani? Patrick Corbin, Jeremy Hellickson, or Chad Bettis?
Well, gosh. I still hold out some hope for DeSclafani. Yeah, that was ugly. But just the second start off the DL. I don't think he's beyond dropping, just because I think was sort of close to the fringe to start off with. But
he's just kind of like the platonic ideal of an average pitcher. Like, average ERA last season, average strikeout rate, average, maybe a little bit better ground ball rate than average, but pretty close. Average walk rate. He's just like he's just kind of like a B-minus student across the board.
He was. I had hopes that he could be, and I think he still could be so much more this year. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, there's a lot of young, up and coming, pretty exciting pitchers out there. So if I had a lot of depth or a shallow, it's a shallow roster, I could see dropping DeSclafani, but in any other situation, I do want to give him at least a couple more chances to improve.
He's got 2 starts next week, DeSclafani. He's at Texas and home against San Diego. Nah, I'm not, no thanks.
I think that home start against San Diego might be enough to entice me to start him.
If you're interested in Patrick Corbin, let me just tell you that Corbin is at Toronto and at Colorado next week, so why don't you wait a week? Also, Corbin really struggles third time through the order, a lot like Sonny Gray. So he's doing well for like 5 innings, and then he's got entering yesterday's start. Corbin had an 8.44 ERA in the 6th and a 9.64 ERA in the 7th. That's no good. And a little hat tip to the In This League podcast for bringing that to my attention. I appeared on that show earlier in the week, and I didn't want to take anything from them, so there are a couple of Arizona guys told me Corbin cannot pitch past the 5th, apparently.
Hellickson, by the way, looking for a bounce back start from him, and he didn't get it, although better than the last time out. But control has not been there lately for Hellickson. So hopefully that's something that he can address, because I was pretty excited about him.
Some news and notes. Brandon Belt sat with a sore ankle. Kenta Maeda was feeling better after being hit by a comebacker on Tuesday, so he hopes to make his next start. Same thing with Taiwan Walker. Michael Saunders pinch hit at Philadelphia, so hopefully he'll be back soon. Mark Teixeira is aiming to be back next Friday. Outfielder Chris Young of the Red Sox left with quad tightness, and Rusne Castillo replaced him. Jeff Locke was terrible again. I don't know if that means Tyler Glasnow could be on the horizon.
Get him out of there.
Victor Martinez pinch hit. Carlos Beltran remained out with a knee injury. Steven Souza could end up on the DL. J.J. Hardy could be back tomorrow. Neil Walker hopes to return today from a back injury. Kansas City DFA'd Omar Infante. Coco Crisp should return today after 2 days of rest. And Adrian Beltre is expected back today, which means you can put him in your FanDuel lineup. Man, FanDuel is a ton of fun. If you haven't started playing on FanDuel.com, people, what are you waiting for? You like playing fantasy baseball? This is just a different way and a very, very fun way to play fantasy baseball. It's daily fantasy, no commitment. You play as much or as little as you like. Contests start at just $1 on FanDuel.com. And, you know, it's just really exciting. You set a lineup and you're really invested. It's kind of like Sunday in fantasy football when you're looking at what your players are doing. And it's the same thing with FanDuel. You sit there on the couch, you flip the channels or watch online or whatever you want to do and check your fantasy players. It's just a kind of a different thing than what you get with seasonal fantasy, where maybe you're a little bit more relaxed on a day-to-day basis and wait until the end of the week to freak out about your results. So I recommend FanDuel. Again, just $1 to get started. And sign up with our promo code, HOMERUN. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use that promo code, HOMERUN, one word with no spaces. Enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel's refunding your money up to $10 for additional play. That's FanDuel.com. Use the promo code, HOMERUN. All right. DFS, I haven't looked at the slate today. Chris, have you?
It's not great. There's the Thursdays are always so tough because all these teams are either not playing or they're on the getaway games. So you get those early games. There's only 7 games on the night slate. The pitching options are pretty rough. Justin Verlander against Kansas City, Aaron Nola against Toronto are the 2 highest priced ones. I'm not sure I necessarily want to start either one of them. So Tanner Roark against the Padres might be the best option.
Oh yeah. But like, that's a question. I love
it's mostly just that, like, I don't feel great about any slate where Tanner Roark's the top option. I'm really just in general, I'm really interested to see what Danny Duffy does tonight. This is a really big test for the new version of Danny Duffy.
Sabathia at the Twins isn't bad.
Ooh, that's very good.
I don't love it, but it's, you know, but it's less like 2,000 less than Roark.
Yeah, I'm just it's sad because it's so much fun for CC Sabathia to like have reinvented himself as a fastball cutter guy this late in his career, but I just keep waiting for the wheels to fall off.
Yeah, me too. I don't know that the Twins are gonna do it to him though.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're looking for some cheap options, I don't know. I suppose Byron Buxton, he's got a home run and 2 doubles in his last 3 games. He's probably dirt cheap. Just look for the
2,900 for Byron Buxton.
Who's the worst pitchers going today?
Kyle Gibson is the cheapest pitcher on the slate at
he's at the Yankees.
5,600
against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees.
Eric Johnson.
I know Al doesn't think he's bad. You're a Kyle Gibson guy, right?
Yeah, I'm not really.
Not anymore?
Yeah.
Hopefully the Mets can get going, but I wouldn't mind stacking them against Nicasio and stacking Nationals against Eric Johnson. So let's see how much Ben Revere is these days. Revere is 3,100, so I like that as a good option for you.
Yeah.
Let's read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Daniel. Should I drop Masahiro Tanaka for Tyler Chatwood?
No.
Yeah, no. No, why would you do that? This is from Dak. You all started the Tyler Duffy fan club a while ago, but you haven't talked about Tyler Duffy recently. Have you soured on him? Yep.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have soured on him.
Dak thinks he's a little unlucky, though, Al. What do you think?
Maybe a little unlucky and a lot hittable and not as good command. I'm not sure why that's happened because he really was on one heck of a stretch for about 2.5 months over, you know, two different seasons. But
yeah,
he's just been bad lately.
Adam
the
from Chicago.
The thing to me is that he doesn't really have like a major platoon split either, which is what I would have expected with him.
Adam from Chicago, grade the trade. Dear Bob, Ziggy, and Thunder Dan.
Various Marlies.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't know Thunder Dan.
Thunder Dan Marley, former Miami Heat.
Oh, that Marley.
Yeah, yeah. Phoenix Suns.
Oh, very clever.
Dan Marley has the greatest travel in the history of the NBA. I know you've seen that video, Chris.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm just going to find it on YouTube. I'm going to tell you what to look up. Okay. It's like 8 seconds long. The guy takes about 10 steps without dribbling. It is so amazing.
He was a big part of my childhood.
I love
those late 90s Heat teams with Thunder Dan Marley and Vashawn Leonard and Alonzo Moore. I love those teams.
You know why I love those teams?
Because they always lost to the Knicks.
Because they always lost to the Knicks. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, he won't stop traveling.
You know how I'm pretty low key. I'm pretty even keel. I'm a pretty straight and laced.
I'm aware.
Kind of fella.
Yeah, sure.
Bring up Larry Johnson if you want to see me blow a gasket.
Can you see me?
I hate that guy.
I'll do what if the
I bring
L.
him up while you're setting up podcast equipment?
I might break something. He is like the only. I just like there's some visceral reaction when I see him do the L thing with his hands that just like drive it just like taps into some like prepubescent rage that I still have left over.
Oh yeah. Okay. I sent you the link. So go look at that and grade this trade. Give up Jason Hayward. Get Adam Wainwright.
It's
a C minus for me.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not a win. It's not a loss. I'd probably rather have Hayward.
Here's one from Omar. Grade the trade. Dear Adam, Al, Scott, and Heath, four dudes whose voices sound nothing alike. I agree. 12-team categories league. Give up Kluber and Hanley Ramirez. Get Waka and Abreu. He's good at starting pitcher. He has Arrieta, Bumgarner, Tanaka, Carmart, Sanchez, and Tyone. So he gives up Kluber and Hanley for Waka and Abreu.
Even with that pitching depth, I still give that a C minus.
It's C plus.
You kind of like it then?
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I'd like to know who the first baseman is.
Well, I would like it more if Jose Abreu was. I know he's turning it around lately, but this season's been really rough for him. I'd like it more if it hadn't been, but it's. I think it's a lot harder to find a good first baseman than it is a good starting pitcher at this point.
All right, we're going to do one more here and end the show. This is from Alex. Grade the trade. Give up in a 10-team 5x5. Give up Carlos Gonzalez and J. Reese Familia. Get Giancarlo Stanton.
B minus.
Yeah, B.
Did you watch the Dan Marley video yet?
I can't get it to load on my computer. I've been having issues.
Dude,
I don't
what's
know
up?
It's...
What's up with that?
I don't know.
I hate
your computer. We're having all kinds of computer issues here.
Yeah, it's been a technical issue day for us.
Al doesn't even really have a computer.
Al is on a backup computer. My computer won't play video. I don't know if that's like an ad block thing or what, but it just like the video will come up and then it just won't play. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, well, we've had the worst connection all year today. So apologies to all you listeners. Thank you for being loyal, sticking with us. That's going to end the show. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll read some more emails. We'll help you get set for week 12. And we'll break down Thursday's action. For Chris Towers and Al Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. Have a great day. Machado or Bono.